I know, that's insane.
Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, July 27th, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Gino Salcedo, who's at the controls for the hearing today, as the recording secretary. Move on to some general information. First, on the order of presentation, the applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either opponents or proponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public comment in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the hearing and make a decision today, continue the item to a later date, or take the matter under advisement for a later decision. There are 3 items on the consent calendar today. These are items that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of the items, please step forward. Otherwise, those 3 items would be granted on consent. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months to have a decision letter issued after the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to get a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-in sheet on the far wall. That is very important because it is the decision letter which carries with it the ability to appeal to the Board of Appeals, and the decision may be appealed within 10 days of the date of the written decision to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to talk, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid distracting and disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, August 24, 2016, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website. We do have one item for continuance, which is item number 1, if we'd like to read that into the record.
Yes, so the item proposed for continuance on October 17, 2016 is case number 2015-007313VAR at 870 Union Street with rear yard open space and exposure variances sought.
And the reason for this continuance is due to the fact that multiple discretionary reviews were filed on this project. It will be heard, we'll have the variance and the discretionary reviews heard at a joint hearing with the Planning Commission on Thursday, October 27th. And that's in room 400 here at City Hall. Those hearings do begin typically at noon. So if there's any public comment on this continuance, please step forward. Otherwise, this item will be continued to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission on Thursday, October 27th. Any public comment? Seeing none, the item is continued. And now we can move on to the consent calendar.
So the 3 items on the consent calendar, Item number 2 is case number 2016-001853VAR at 285 Santa Rosa Avenue with a rear yard variance sought. Item number 3 is case number 2016-000861VAR at 111 Devonshire Way with rear yard variance sought. And item number 4, case number 2016-002770VAR at 1372 Pine Street with an exposure variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of these three items? If not, these three items will be granted, and that is item number 2 for 285 Santa Rosa Avenue, item number 3 for 111 Devonshire Way, and item number 4 for 1372 Pine Street. Is there any public comment on any of these three items? And seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variances for those three items, and we can move on to our regular calendar.
All right, so regular calendar item number 5, case number 2015-016300 VAR at 1281 Greenwich Street with a rear yard variance sought. So yeah, project sponsor, you have a 5-minute presentation.
Thank you.
Ready.
My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for this project. Our response to the 5 findings is in the application, so I'm going to speak a little bit more generally to the architectural intent behind this proposal. You see the site plan in front of you. This variance is to enclose 145 square feet of area that is already behind a windscreen on a rear deck. The property is a very unusual property in that it's landlocked mid-block. There is no rear yard. The rear yard that you see behind the property actually belongs to the house that comes off the street at 90 degrees. What essentially happens here is that a good portion of this building is non-conforming just to start with based on its site plan, its configuration on the site. In addition, this variance is for a top floor fill-in, and the top floor is set substantially back from the street. We don't plan on modifying the top floor towards the front of the building, and so that gives us the only option of adding square feet in the back of the building. So the slot depth is only 62 feet 6 inches, again, a shorter than normal lot. So we've chosen to fill in this area that you see shaded there, again, behind the windscreen. The windscreen, actually, if you could indicate that, carries, especially in the right top right-hand corner, all the way around this piece, and so it's really not visible at all from the outside. Also, we were in the middle of a unit merger on this project, and the top floor was going to have a different use. That unit merger was called off due to legislation change, and so now we're actually proceeding with a two-unit building, and this will be the top living floor with a kitchen. So this additional 145 square feet gives us a much better floor plan, and you can see that the proposed kitchen, which is against this back wall, to make kind of an indoor-outdoor kitchen. So those are the main reasons that we seek this variance, and I just wanted to show you a few photographs, context photographs, very quickly. You see the shaded area there at the back of the building. That's facing west. That's facing east, essentially the view 180 degrees from the other direction. And this is the one shot that we could find from the street behind where you see the area that's filled in. There are other permits that have been filed on this project, and if anybody has questions about those or anything else, I'd certainly be happy to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, item number 5 for 1281 Greenwich Street. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot size and configuration, as well as the fact that it's not a substantial deviation from the existing conditions on the lot. We can move on to the next item.
All right, next on to regular calendar item number 6, case number 2016-003233 VAR at 3140 16th Street with a rear yard variance sought. Whenever you're ready.
So good morning. My name is Ashley Brakefield with Farrell, LeBron, and Martell. I represent project sponsor MX3 Ventures for the proposed project at 3140 16th Street. The proposed project here is essentially an adaptive reuse of the existing building. It's an automotive repair shop that's considered historic, and a conversion to a two-story mixed-use residential over ground floor retail building. The project will include approximately 5,400 square feet of retail space on the ground floor, separated into two retail spaces, with 4 two-bedroom loft-style units on the second floor. In addition, the project proposes a courtyard and a roof deck, contributing about 1,600 square feet of usable open space. So as a whole, the proposed project, you know, preserves the historic building while providing new residential, retail, and open space uses. So what we're seeking here is a rear yard modification under Planning Code Section 134E. The existing historic building is currently without a compliant rear yard, rendering it a non-compliant structure, as it has been since its construction in 1926. So the modification sought here is necessary to develop the proposed project on the project site while retaining and repurposing the existing historic building and using that 1,600 square feet of usable open space in lieu of the compliant rear yard. As we stated in our papers, and I'll summarize briefly, there are sufficient grounds for each of the three Section 134E1 findings. First, the project proposes residential uses. It adds approximately 9,200 square feet of residential space not currently existing, as well as usable open space in the form of the second floor courtyard and a common roof deck, both directly accessible to residents of the development. Second, the project will have no impact on currently existing light and air to or views from the adjacent properties because it merely continues the existing condition, namely the absence of a compliant rear yard, which has been present again since 1926. Granting the modification here will have no impact on the use of the surrounding area, and it'll largely go unnoticed given the configuration of the already existing building that really isn't changing here. Third, there will be no adverse effect on the interior block open space formed by the rear yards of adjacent property because since 1926, the existing building has been without a rear yard. So in other words, any actual impact to the interior block open space has already been existing for 90 years, given that there is no rear yard. Nor does the project involve any significant expansion of the building envelope or change to currently existing open space. We are aware of no opposition to the project. The only issue we're aware of is a concern of the Entertainment Commission regarding nearby places of entertainment. Project sponsor is already beginning to address those issues by retaining Salter. We'll incorporate Salter's recommendations at the appropriate time during the building permit process. So, in summary, it's a historic building that's been without a compliant rear yard since its construction in 1926. The modest modification sought here is necessary to rehabilitate the existing building and provide the new residential, retail, and open space uses. So for these reasons, in addition to those in our application materials, we request the modification be granted.
All right. Thank you for the very thorough presentation. Sure. One question. It was my understanding from staff that there may have been a previous proposal on this site for a larger development, and
Correct.
I was wondering, what was the reason behind not pursuing that and pursuing instead a smaller
project? So we were informed by the city during that process that, you know, this building was going to be considered historic. And so in order to kind of maintain that building and still be able to develop the project, we decided to just change this into a smaller rehabilitation project in order to keep the city's request that it be kept historic.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 6 for 3140 16th Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested rear yard exception, and we can move on to the next item.
All right, next item is number 7, case number 2013.1281 VAR-02 at 1335 Folsom Street, seeking a rear yard modification variance.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. My name is Thomas Janik, and I'm here representing Realtex on behalf of the project at 1335 Folsom Street. This project has been refined by 3 years of work with the department staff, the Western Soma Citizens Planning Task Force, and the neighbors. It has received the support of the department staff, the Planning Commission, a number of community organizations, and local businesses. We believe its design is thoughtful and appropriate to this block of Folsom Street. It directly responds to the Folsom NCT Zoning District and Western Soma Design Guidelines. The proposed project includes 6 stories within 65 feet, 53 SRO dwelling units, 4 tourist hotel rooms, and highly activated ground floor street frontage. The purpose of the rear yard requirement is to contribute to mid-block open space. Unfortunately, there is no traditional pattern of interior block open space in the direct vicinity of the project site. The project is requesting rear yard modification. Per planning code, the rear yard requirements in the NC districts can be modified or waived by the zoning administrator if all of the following 3 criteria are met. The first criteria requires that the proposed project include residential uses in the new or expanding development, and comparable amount of usable open space is provided elsewhere on the project. The project would be required to provide a rear yard of 1,425 square feet, representing 25% of the 5,700 square foot lot. Therefore, the project will provide more open space than would otherwise be required in a code-compliant rear yard. To clarify, the project provides a total of 1,896 square feet of the code-compliant open space. 1,428 square feet of this total is a commonly used open space located on two terraces on a sixth floor. The second criteria requires that the proposed new structure will not impede access of light and air or the surrounding properties. As demonstrated by the corner view on slide 3, the proposed project will not impede access to light, air, or views of any of the adjacent properties. 1331 Folsom Street is an adjacent single-family home to the northeast. It does not have any property line windows. 123 Dorley Street is an adjacent multifamily apartment building to the southeast. Its primary windows face Dorley Street and its non-compliant rear yard. The property's secondary windows face out onto light wells. Our proposed project light wells will mirror these existing light wells in above location and size, as shown on the plot plan. The third criteria requires that proposed project will not adversely affect interior block open space. As shown on the plot plan, there is no traditional pattern of interior block open space. Where adjacent buildings setback and provide light wells, our project does as well. In closing, without this modification, the rear yard will be surrounded by the 2- to 4-story buildings and would be completely shaded. This form of commonly used open space would not be enjoyable by our residents, especially because this is a single-room occupancy project with a smaller unit. Granting a rear yard modification will allow the proposed project to provide a larger, more enjoyable common open space that will provide sunlight and views for our residents. This modification will have no negative impact on the surrounding properties. We have held 16 meetings with various neighborhood organizations and neighbors. No one on this block has expressed any concerns about the impact of granting this waiver. This concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my understanding the Section 312 notification was completed some months ago. There was a discretionary review that was filed and heard by the Planning Commission earlier this month. And
correct.
They approved the project, right? They did not take discretionary review.
That's unanimously, 6-0, correct.
Okay. And then how are you satisfying your affordable housing requirements? Are you? It's a rental project, right? Or so you're doing on-site or
outside? On-site. On-site, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And this is item number 7 for 1335 Folsom Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification, and we can move on to the next item.
Next item is number 8 for case number 2015-016617 VAR at 1218 46th Avenue, seeking a rear yard variance.
My name is Eric Bloom. I'm the project agent and designer for the project. Jennifer De Silva and Daniel McLaughlin are also here, who are the owners of the property. And Christopher Plank is a historical consultant who put together the original DPR survey in 2008, as well as the HRE Part 2 report for this project. The existing structure is a known historic resource because it incorporates two earthquake refugee cottages that were constructed in 1907 and brought to the current site. There was an addition to the rear of the shacks and a non-contributing cottage built at the rear of the property in 1937. Jennifer and Daniel bought the property a little over a year ago with the intent of preserving the shacks and maintaining the property as a single-family residence for their family. In consultation with Christopher Verplank, we developed the proposed design. We proposed to keep the earthquake shacks intact with some minimal updating, replacing some of the windows and moving the entrance. renovating the 1937 addition, which would reduce the existing footprint of the residence by 8'7" to the 45% rear yard line, build a two-story bedroom addition in what is essentially the footprint of the rear cottage, maintaining the 25% rear yard, and connecting these two volumes with a one-story hyphen or hallway. The proposed design was developed in order to honor this unique historic resource and to conform with the principles and spirit of the residential design guidelines. In order to minimize the visual impact to the earthquake shacks, the proposed vertical addition is located to the rear of the property. So as you can see in this diagram, the proposed two-story volume is located at the rear of the property. And the diagram below shows the allowable building envelope with the three-story addition directly behind the shacks, which would be highly visible from the street. Given the prevalence of rear yard cottages on adjacent properties and on the block, some of them two stories, we believe the proposed design to be consistent with the neighborhood pattern, the least impactful to adjacent properties for light and view, and the most beneficial to preserving mid-block open space. So we received early input and endorsement of this strategy from planner Kelly Wong and enthusiastic support from Marcel Boudreau and Delvin Washington during a project review meeting.
Hi, thank you for your time and your attention to our project. I'm Dan McLaughlin, one of the owners of the property. I grew up here in San Francisco in the Sunset. My parents live nearby. About a year ago, my wife and I were fortunate enough to be able to purchase a home in the Sunset, which is also a little slice of San Francisco history. And over the last 15 months, we've worked closely with the planning department, the historical preservation program, our architects, and a historical preservation consultant to design a project that we believe honors the historical importance of these earthquake shacks and provides a home for us to raise our two young children. In brief, we think the project is a sensible one and one that conforms and is guided by the requirements put forth by your colleagues at the Historical Preservation Program. I'm cognizant of the time constraints in these proceedings, so unless if you have any questions for me, I'd like to just cede the rest of my time to the historical consultant, Mr. Verplank, who just wanted to say a few words about the project.
Certainly. Thank you.
My firm found this property to be significant in the Oceanside Outer Sunset Survey in 2008. And in subsequent years, I received multiple phone calls from people who were interested in this property. They said, how can I demolish these buildings? They're in my way. I want to build something new and big. So I was really happy when the current owners called me and said, we really like these earthquake shacks. They're really cool. They're part of San Francisco history. How can we do something that honors them but also makes them livable for, you know, a growing family? So I was really happy and worked closely with the architect to develop a solution, which I think honors the cottages by constructing the majority of the new additional square footage at the back of the property, connecting it to the main building by this narrow hyphen. It minimizes visual impact and also reduces the physical impact to the historic resource. And it's, as the project sponsor said, planning department thinks this is a really great solution. The design, I think, is also very contemporary and honors the resource. And with that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. So if there's any more time, or is there anything further to add? Or
that's all.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe just one or a couple questions. So through the research on the property, there was no evidence that the rear cottage was ever a separate dwelling unit, either legal or illegal. Is that correct? Okay. All right. And then so the proposal takes the existing about 1,000 square foot home at the front with two bedrooms and seeking to expand, and you're essentially relocating those two bedrooms to the rear in the cottage, in the expanded cottage at the back. Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 8 for 1218 46th Avenue? Please step forward.
I really need to know how.
So if you could pull down the mic.
Oh, thank you. Really need to know how that two-story building will impact on the natural light going through our window, our only one window in our kitchen, that it will really impact us a lot. Because that window, we only get natural light from there. And if this is two-story, and it will not let us, we will have no lights anymore, natural lights, when it's become a two-story building.
Okay. Which property are you?
We are on the right.
Or what's the address?
1226. With a three-story building.
So with the cottage at the rear as well?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And then we live on the second floor. So right now with we're on our window, I already seeing the, at eye level, I already see there the cottage on the back, the roof up there already. If they build a two-story, it would be right blocking all our lights that's coming through there, because our window is really small already. And then with the hallway, the ceiling's going to be 9 feet high, I believe. Okay. Can you lower that? I mean, that is going to be so high, you know, and it's all going to be on our fence line, right?
So you'll have a rebuttal time, and so probably the best thing to do now is just to express your concerns, and then we can have the project sponsor respond to those.
Yeah, I need to know about the lights, you know, how it's going to impact our lights, and then the hallway, that's going to be so high. And then when they are doing the construction on that hallway, they're going to be digging through the concrete. I need to know if that's going to be affecting our property, you know, right on the fence. And what we're going to do about the fence. It's a sheer fence right now. And then how long is the construction going to be?
I think we'll, if you just ask your questions now, we'll have the sponsor respond. So now is the time to hear your questions and comments.
Yeah, and how long the construction to be? And then during the construction, there's going to be a parking issue. Because right now, they're using our driveway to get to parking on their property. So we need to know how long it's going to be and how it's going to affect the parking area, you know, around there. And then also during construction, there's going to be a lot of dust and everything. How is that going to be affecting? Because my nephew has allergy issues that he gets, you know. And and I need to know about the damaging to our property when they're doing the fence part. And then, and the lights and the ceiling height is the most important part that I need to know, you know, if we could bring it down.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you. So you're that adjacent property to the south, the cottage at the back, and your building is two stories too, is that correct? The cottage at the rear?
Our cottage is only one story.
One story cottage. Okay. Thank you.
But from our main building, we can't, the light's going to impact on our main building, you know, when we're.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see if there's any other public comment, and then the project sponsor will have the time to rebut. So.
Hi, good morning. My name is Michael Jang. I bought my property at the address 1214 46th Avenue, just right next to the planning Little Hut there. Let me give you the brief tale of that Little Hut. Mrs. Kunan was living there with the husband. He's very old. After some time, the husband died. She was living there alone. I took her to the hospital so many times during the time there. So it happened that her water tank broke, leaking, whatever. So he had no hot water, right? So that's it, the cold, and then nobody can help her. And it happened that he found a handyman to take care of that, and they must agree something. Give him 6 months free rent, and then remodel, including the water tank replacement, whatever. And after that, the guy changing all the entrance lock and everything. The owner cannot get in. So, and then afterwards, that guy, very dishonest, and they bill her for thousands of dollars. She couldn't afford to pay. So he took over. The dishonest guy took over the property, maybe paying her the last money at that time, but I don't know how much. Okay, but that guy is a handyman, but he probably doesn't have any regular work. He's doing odd job everywhere. So he recommend the owner living in the remodeled basement somewhere in Richmond area. So after that, so he took over the property. One thing I like is he cut down the tree, really big tree. And the big tree is the branches extending or spreading over my bedroom. I was living like the prisoner behind any enemy line. That means I'm living in the shadow. So that means
I like
him because he cut down the tree. So that is why I like it. But right now, they are going to build the two-story building behind the little building there. That is the historic building. Okay, why he have to build the two-story high building? How about one story? So I get sunlight from the back. I have suffered a lot because of that big tree spreading over my roof all the time. I'm not living in...
Sir, that was your time.
If you could just finish up that last thought, please.
Okay.
Or if just going to wrap up that last sentence, you can do
okay.
That.
Okay. So they are not supposed to build a building at that two-story high, that high. So that means blocking my sunlight.
Okay. Thank you. So I just want to confirm, are you the adjacent property to the north at 1214 48th Avenue? Is that your property?
That is only one story.
Okay.
So they are building the two-story high on
at
that little building. That is not supposed to. Oh, yeah, by the way, because they have no bedroom into the two-bedroom, that's illegal.
Okay, thank you. That's I just wanted to confirm which property you're in, but thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Right,
appreciate
thank
that. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Hi, my name is Sun Mao Wen. My property, 443 Lincoln Way, building. Then my backyard too short. If built too high, then my backyard can see anything. Yeah.
Thank you.
Then too dark, cannot see anything in my property. So I don't allow a build too high, you know. You know, because the build is the back, right? Not in the front. The new construction. Then the cover in my backyard. My backyard too short. But yeah, same thing like from here to there. Then it build like that, my backyard can't see anything.
Thank
That's
you.
It.
Thank you. Which property?
443 Lincoln Way.
You're on Lincoln. Okay.
Yeah.
To the north. Okay.
Okay.
Thank
That's
you.
It.
Any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. As I said, our plan is to make this our home. We've enrolled our daughter in a school 3 blocks from there. My parents live in the neighborhood. This is where we want to live. And we are very cognizant of the need to be good neighbors, to design a home that fits within the neighborhood pattern, and appreciate the fact that people in our neighborhood have taken the time to come here and speak about our project. In our conversations with the historical preservation program, the architects, the historical preservation consultants, all of them were unanimous that they would want us to build not right behind the earthquake shack, but to push that building to the rear. And in keeping with those guidelines, we've decided to submit a project that does just that. Our block is almost entirely 2- and 3-story buildings. I'm not sure I know exactly which are the buildings that have been referenced here, but looking at this slide, you could see us in the middle with a 3-story building to the right and then another 2-story building to the left. Many of the properties also have existing rear yard cottages that are there. And then to try to see if I can respond to some of the concerns that have been raised here in terms of lights and access and the like. I don't know if we have the...
Do you have the lights shadow?
Well, this is the sort of the light as it currently exists, and then the light with the proposed massing. In terms of the house that's to our south, that to the south of us, one, it's to the south of us, and that's a 3-story house. And two, there's the current project, the design of the 2-story addition in the back, because of the currently raised floor and the pitch of the roof, the structure would only be 8 or 9 feet higher than the current existing structure. And in addition, there's probably about more than 20 feet between the structure to the south of us and that structure. And then similarly, there's probably close to 30 feet between the structure to the north of us and that back structure. I guess in sum, we've designed a project that we think is sensible and is in keeping with the requirements put forth by your colleagues. But we are obviously very cognizant of the need to be good neighbors, because this is where we want to live. Sorry.
Thank you. That is all for the public hearing portion of this. Just looking at the photos, and of course the orientation of the building. One question: what is the overall height of the proposed building compared to the height of the adjacent cottage to the south? Do you have that as a comparison?
A measurement of the cottage to the south. I would say it's about a little bit, because of the pitch of the roof, it's about the same as the existing cottage on the subject property.
Okay.
So this the subject property has, as you know, a cottage structure at the back that is elevated and also has a pitch roof. So in sort of keeping the roof as flat as possible, we've tried to minimize, really, in a sensitive way, we think, to the neighbors as much as possible, the height of the proposed 2-story addition.
And the Section 311 has not yet been performed, so that's correct?
Well, it's been posted, so I've been working with Elizabeth Gordon-Junk here on that.
Okay.
That was posted along with the variance. As far as we know, it was sent okay. out to neighbors as well.
Okay, do you have the expiration date for the 311? Because I had talked to staff, and it sounded like that was still...
I have not received that from her yet, but we went ahead and posted along with it. So that can extend.
Okay.
I think we'll
confirm that, because certainly that would be the 30-day process in which neighbors could file a discretionary review and have the item heard by the Planning Commission, even if a variance is granted for the project, and the Planning Commission may, if a discretionary review is brought to them, may seek for
the idea. I think that we, from Delvin Washington during the project review meeting, and then with Elizabeth, was to run these concurrently so that any comments could come up today.
Great.
Yeah.
At this point, I think I will close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement. I certainly see justification for granting a variance given the historic nature of the existing building and the work that is being done to make it functional for modern living, and I certainly do see that there's the justification for the variance. I would encourage you to have additional discussions with the neighbors, and if there's potential to have maybe a slightly different roof form that would reduce impacts. But again, with the adjacent property being to the south, I don't see any direct light air issues. I mean, often in these cases, when the proposed building is to the north, it's a question of using lighter color paints, reflective materials to ensure that you have light coming into those windows, which seem that they would already be blocked by the existing structure if they're about the same height. So I think, you know, you could look at some alternatives there, whether there's some possibility of modifying the roof form to further minimize. But overall, I think the project is sound and meets the five findings, but you know, would encourage you to look at some possible changes with the neighbors that may address some of their concerns. And we'll also all follow up with staff on the status of the 311 notification. So again, public hearing is closed.
Can I show you a picture of my house when I lived?
If you'd like to put it on the overhead, certainly we can do that.
This view may help.
So that's the window, that's your north window now, looking to the north at the...
That's the cottage, their cottage.
Okay. All right. Well, if you could, do you have any exterior photos that you could email our staff to show in relation to the cottage? I think that would be helpful, too. Just so, because I know the... We can go back to the overhead. Thank you. I thought that you lived in the cottage at the rear, but okay, thank you. I mean, that actually kind of furthers my support for the variance, but again, you know, we do have more process here, so I would encourage you to talk to the neighbors. It seems like you have some great neighbors, and so, you know, see what you can do to work and address concerns. Do you have a question, sir?
I have a question. Okay, the cottage, long time ago, it used to be no bedroom, studio, dining room, sitting room, living room, everything there. But right now, they have two bedrooms there. Right now, why they don't just tear that part down? Because that was a tree there before, right?
Yeah.
They extend it at the back, making two bedrooms of the cottage. But now, they are going to build two-story high at the back. What for? They can build one story with two bedrooms, whatever, if they have two kids. Why have the big buildings too high and blocking the sunlight?
Okay, thank you for your comments. I mean, you know, there is very clearly, and you know, we can see from the photos a pattern of structures.
I don't know how high the...
Thank you, sir. That's your time, but thank you.
All right, thank you.
And that is what they're seeking. They're seeking the approval to do the rear yard variance, which would allow them to do this. I think there's very clearly a pattern of structures, some quite tall in the required rear yard. Our historic preservation staff has worked with them extensively to preserve the building at the front, which is a resource, is a historic resource, and we're seeking to do as little work as possible to that front to retain its integrity, but still to allow them to have a usable home. So that's where we are, but appreciate all your comments and would ask that the parties continue to discuss. Sorry, sir, that is the end of your time. The public hearing is closed, and we're going to be moving on to the next item. Thank you.
Do you know how high the planning building?
Sir, thank you for your comments.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
All right, next calendar item, number 9, case number 2015-015029 VAR at 3649 21st Street for front setback and street frontage variances sought.
Hi, good morning. I have the affidavit of posting and two letters of support from neighbors. Thank you, Mr. Zoning Administrator, for hearing our case today. The proposal is to add a new garage to an existing single-family home. The garage will be inserted below an existing exterior staircase, set back about 7 feet 11 inches from the front property line, and completely below and enclosed by the existing front stair and patio. The garage will be subgrade below the existing home. The property was once part of the adjacent property with a lot split performed in the past. Our client has a use agreement to park their car at the neighbor's garage. With this new garage, the homeowner will be able to use their own parking garage and provide two new off-street parking spaces. As I just submitted, we do have two letters of support from adjacent neighbors. I also want to emphasize that the garage door and opening will be within the existing exterior front stair and patio, which is in the front of the existing primary building facade. Thus, we are seeking a variance to this section of the code. The garage will be essentially low impact. The setback pattern of the street will be maintained. Other than the curb cut, the overall change is minor. We are seeking this variance because, or, you know, in support of this variance, I just wanted to point out that the subject property is one of only 5 homes on the block out of 40 properties that do not have a garage. The subject property is one of 12 homes out of 40 that has its primary facade set back from the front property line. The present proposal does not alter the old pattern of the use of the property, nor will it change the existing physical character of the neighborhood, as garages are a common feature. So, you know, just to wrap up, I think that we have a limited amount of space to put in this garage, and the front stair wall and patio are existing, and the location of the new garage we think will have a very minor impact, and for the most part will be subgrade and set back far from the street. And because of those, we hope that the zoning administrator will approve this variance.
Thank you. So the project requires the relocation of the light pole, and it's my understanding that PUC has already kind of given its preliminary blessing for that. Is that correct?
Yes. My client has talked to PUC. They've gone over the process, talked about the fees involved, and it seems like they're going to allow him to do it.
Okay. And then the existing tree will be able to be retained.
The street tree, yeah. Yeah.
And by your calculations, you're providing 2 off-street parking spaces with the project, but by your calculations, you would say that you're only removing one on-street parking space?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any public comment on item number 9 for 3649 21st Street? Or
I'm the sponsor. May I speak?
Sure.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify a few things. The curb in front of the house right now is a large curb. It houses 2 large cars. So a small curb cut, we think we'll still be able to have one very large car or 2 small cars in front of the house, even with the curb cut. The department that would move the street lamp already came. They came like a year and a half ago when I contacted them, and they marked the whole sidewalk ready to move it. So they know exactly where the pole would go. They sent me a cost and a form to fill out, which we would trigger, you know, should we get approved. the neighbors, I have no opposition at all. Everybody would love to see me put a garage in. I've lived there since 1994 without a garage. And although we've had the right to park next door, every owner of that house has begged us to build a garage so that we can release the special restriction. But, of course, it's been costly and gone up over the years, which is why we haven't done it.
And then as part of this, you'll relinquish that special restriction on the adjacent property.
Exactly. Our understanding is that we're not allowed to release it until we have a like-in-kind parking right. space. We have one parking space now. It's a 10 by 20 spot. So at minimum, we were going to do that. Our neighbors uphill have actually asked us if we will do it, and they would share the cost with us to get it done once and for all.
Okay. I mean, I think we could probably accomplish, well, the NSR is on the adjacent property.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, certainly maybe our staff could help facilitate that to mm-hmm. the extent that we can as part of the review of this project, because I think that would be an important part of this
right.
project approval.
Yeah, we talked to a few attorneys and they basically said it's a pretty easy process. You
yeah.
just have to prove that you have a garage first, and then there would be some legal paperwork, I suppose, to release it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item number 9 for 3649 21st Street? Any other public comment? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting existing feature like the street tree will be retained and that there's a net gain of parking through the proposal. And we can move on to the next item.
Okay. Item number 10 for case number 2015-015799 VAR at 215 and 217 Dory Street with rear yard, open space, and exposure variances sought.
Good morning. William Fleischacker for the property owner, Michael Rudman, who's also here if you have any questions. The property in question here is on Dory Street between Harrison and Bryant. It was built in 1907 and has two structures on it. There's this is the facade of the front structure, which is approximately 2,700 square feet. And then in the rear, this is the site plan, and right here is the property, and you can see in shade is the rear structure, which was about 1,200 square feet. It was originally horse stables when built and was still horse stables when my client bought the property in the 80s, I believe. It's since been kind of rehabbed. And here's that structure from the open space between the two buildings. And it has been rehabbed and used for various purposes since then, consistent with the prior zoning, which was SLI. This is just four shots of the current interior of the of that structure. And given the change in the tenant and the change in the zoning to RED, he's now desiring to turn it into a second residential unit. Which requires the variances. The rear yard variance, because it was an existing structure within the required rear yard, and then also requires an exposure variance for that proposed rear unit. And then, although there is adequate open space, it's 80 square feet per unit. There's more than 160, but it doesn't meet the standards for common open space. There was enough for one private open space, but we're seeking the variance for 80 square feet of the private open space. The floor plan, so you could see what the site looks like. We believe the variances are warranted given the fact of this unusual circumstance of this existing structure within the rear yard. We're also not changing any footprint at all. The only construction is adding a kitchen unit to the facility so it can be used as a residential unit. There'll be no impact on air or open space or the the interior block open space, given that it's retaining the historical footprint. It's replacing the underutilized space with a use that's consistent with the current zoning, which has no limitation on residential density. He would otherwise not be able to add density without tearing down that rear structure or completely tearing down both structures and rebuilding at a higher density. So given all that, we think the variances are justified. And I also, adding some credence to that, I think, is the recently adopted expansion of the accessory dwelling unit legislation. I haven't studied that in detail, but I think that may actually be applicable here, and we could have perhaps proceeded under that, but I'd have to look at that more carefully. But we're still seeking the variances to do that conversion.
Thank you. Do you know if this has ever been used as a dwelling unit, as an illegal dwelling unit?
Not to our knowledge. I can turn to my... No. No.
Because, okay. I mean, had it been, there is a process under Planning Code Section 207 to legalize those units, and it does waive a good number of these requirements. It would not necessitate a variance hearing in this case, but thank you for that information.
Sure.
And we'll see if there's any public comment on item number 10, 215, 217 Doré Street.
Hey, good morning. My name is Delia. I'm in labor to the 215 to 217. Yeah, I am labeled to the 215-217 Dollar Street. 10 years ago, the building is an old garage. Nobody there, very old, TM building, new building. They got a lot of parking in my neighbor, in the sidewalk. One time they almost killed me. Because I sell my side 219, they build a business, rent for the business machine. Somebody comes to pick up the machine. I stand on my side. The car just come along, hit me. I almost died. They hit my face. I go to the ambulance, go to general hospital. I lay down over 1 month. 1 month, I cannot work for half a year, then exercise. Right now, I feel better, but right now, still pain. You know, this owner never got responsible for me. I almost died. If he don't build it, but yeah, I don't get extended. Right now, he will still build more and more. We worry about save my safe and my tenant. Because the car, they always park my side. You know, the same way. Just next, they always park there. They don't care. We need to save and no responsible for anything, you know. This is making money. It's not clear. It's very dangerous. If you get more people, go up and go down, anytime they hit again, you know. That happened for almost after 10 years. This owner say, oh, what he do is possible. He don't care. He just more parts are coming. That's very dangerous for us. If he don't build the building, the old storage there, I don't get a head. I'm not dying. Almost died. If he hit my head, the truck, I'm dying already. But I'm very lucky that he hit my face. The Kaiser, husband, oh, this lady, very lucky, no die. You know? I'm very young. I'm 40, 10 years old. I'm 42. My kids are very small. He don't care anything. He's just making money. But right now, he want to build more business. Or let's rent it. Anytime they parking outside, they hit me again. We don't lie, just friendly, you know. It's small house there only. It's got two buildings already. One standard. One business in the downstairs. They want to build one more. That's too much, you know. It's too dangerous. We're already almost killed. How can he pay me? I kill. I'm very young, you know. You don't respond to anything. I'm very mad. It's not clear. Because he always parking there, he tell me, customer always tell me my sidewalk. I stand on my sidewalk, they hit the car for me, almost kill me. I stand on my sidewalk, he car always parking his sidewalk, the lawn coming. It's very dangerous. Thank you for time.
Thank you.
Help me. Please not agree.
Thank you. So I'm just so I understand. So under,
yeah, my name's not 100%.
If you could speak in the microphone, I just have a question. So I mean, what you're saying is that,
yeah,
during previous construction on the site, was it one of the contractor's trucks hit you? Is that?
Yeah, he built a new building in a big yard. They rent for the machine business. The car comes to pick up the machine. They kill me because they always parking outside.
Okay.
The parking almost kill me. They, because before the old storage, He changed the business, the land for the printing machine. They come and pick the machine. I send my sidewalk. The car just run and hit me.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Almost died.
Sorry to hear about the accident. I'm glad
you're big accident.
You're well. But we'll...
I sleep in the bed. Cannot move for long time. I turn, one turn. I use all one line and turn, one turn. Few days. Very painfully. Look like the mountain hitting me. I think I almost died that time. I'm very good at standing up here right now. I thank for the God.
Thank
you. I just still want to make more trouble.
Thank you for your...
If
your
I sense it for you, well, when you think about it, when you think about it, you say...
All right, sorry. That's...
Are you saying sorry for me? You kill me always. It doesn't make you money. You say you,
excuse me, man.
You what you say?
This is not the appropriate time for that. But now we're hearing a variance application.
I'm sorry. I'm quite too much, you know.
I understand.
But these guys are happy. Money already.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 10 for 215-217 Doré Street? Seeing none, project sponsor. I mean, could you just briefly respond to that, please?
Yeah, I mean, our understanding, she's referring to an incident that occurred when there was a prior occupant of this structure we're talking about that was doing repairs of copy machines and things consistent with the SLI zoning. So that was an incident that occurred. I don't think that my client knew about it until recently. Obviously, he tried to be a good neighbor as best he can. The use of proposing actually is less likely to cause any sort of future incident, we believe.
Okay. All right.
And then I posting that.
Thank you. With that, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variances, noting that the residential is principally permitted. There actually is no parking requirement here as well, and it is adaptive reuse of an existing structure that will have no additional physical impacts. We can move on to the next item. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Next item 11 for case number 2016-002112VAR at 6 Minerva Street, seeking a rear yard variance.
Good morning. My name is Robert Pryor. I'm the agent for the owner, Brian Spady, at this property at 6 Minerva Street. As you'll see in the slide I just put up, this is what the property looks like at this time. I just point this out just to show you real quickly that this particular space at the rear yard is unusable at this time because it's about 2.5 feet up in the air. You'd have to cross a private road to get to it, which runs behind a building. It's a very limited area. Just to show you a couple pictures here. You can see in this one how raised up it is and everything. It's a very small street through there. In our ignorance, we were unaware of the 25% rule when we originally started this project. We have a set of plans prepared. We did a physical survey of the property to mark off the area. And when we learned of this, when we came to the city asking for the permit, we went to the neighbors, prepared a little note. Basically, we asked some of the neighbors to sign a basic statement like this. And this basically is from the owner, basically informing his neighbors of what we're planning to do. What we'd like to do is install a two-car parking pad with some retaining walls around it to retain the soil, come about 8 inches above the soil there. We've asked all the neighbors. We did not receive any opposition to the project. I believe our findings have been documented in a part of our application package. Just to one additional item, I did not realize I had to give you a signed affidavit of the thing, but I did inform Mr. Horn of the project and send him a picture of it.
Yeah, you can submit that later. We do have a signed affidavit, but you can submit that.
And just if you wouldn't mind, just because the owner went to the trouble to write this, I'll just read briefly what he stated for the record. My name is Brian, and I live at 6 Minerva Street. As you are all aware, parking is at a premium in our neighborhood. I am proposing to create additional parking on my property at my own expense. In the attached sheets, I hope my vision can be made clear. I propose to excavate the dirt and rocks located at the north side of Lot 36, build retaining walls, and lay out concrete. It is my hope that this will allow members of my household to park their cars off the street and thus freeing up two car spots on our surrounding streets. These are parking spots that can be used by you and members of your household. If I could simply have your approval for this project, it will help me attain the proper permit so I can legally begin the construction. If this plan meets to your with your approval, I hope you will sign and date at the bottom of the form. All the neighbors that we approached were in agreement. We did not receive any opposition to the project. I believe that this is a very congested area. There's very limited parking, and I believe this variance should be approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So just a few questions. I mean, the development here was a bit unusual in that there is that kind of private easement at the rear of the property that provides access to the parking, and there's actually no parking access from the front from Minerva, but the parking is at the rear. There's a two-car garage that's already there on the subject property. This is a single-family dwelling. Under the planning code, a maximum of three parking spaces would be allowed. What you're ultimately proposing is four parking spaces, which the planning code doesn't allow. How many residents are there in the building?
I believe, I don't know the answer to that. I know I've only been working with the owner, and he's been out of town a lot, but I could find that out easy enough. Okay. He is available by phone at this moment if you'd like me to contact
him. I mean, it was just more out of interest rather than, the code simply doesn't allow what you're proposing because the number of parking spaces would be more than what's allowed. Mm-hmm. Also, we do have open space requirements. I kind of challenge you on the fact that it's not usable. I mean, it could certainly be developed and used as open space, and certainly that would have been the intention of the original project. Well, from the photos, it doesn't appear that it was ever developed in a manner that's consistent with that as the usual open space. That is not the fault of the city and not the fault of our codes, but the fault of the property owners to find a better use for that space rather than parking. I'll see if there's any public comment on this item before I make a decision. But is there any public comment on item number 11 for 6 Minerva Street? Seeing none, I can't support the requested variance. I simply don't see that there are findings of hardship or exceptional extraordinary circumstances in this case and would deny the requested variance.
Would you be inclined to approve it if we just went with a one-car pad?
We can have discussions about that. That would be at least code complying, but do you have concerns and would want to see that there is actually some development in that space of landscaped area and in usable space?
Well, we could include some landscape area if we shrink it to a one-car spot. We'd be willing to do that. Okay. The homeowner's already, expended quite a bit of money preparing for this, so we'd like to find some, way to move forward.
Okay. Oh, well, then I'll take the matter under advisement, and we can discuss it further with staff about developing a code-complying or more code-complying alternative that doesn't exceed parking provisions and does something to actually improve the rear yard space with appropriate landscaping, so we can discuss that further with staff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and we can move on to the next item.
Right, next item number 12 for case number 2008.1274 VAR, located at 3441 through 3447 20th Street, with rear yard and open space variances sought.
Good morning. Larry Paul, architect for the project. Basically, this is a historic building built in 1891, a Victorian, and it had a terrible fire back in the 70s that destroyed the top floor, and the proposal is to reinstate that top floor as it was originally by showing by historic photographs and stuff, and restore the two units that were up there, living units, and provide open space for them in terms of decks that were on the back end, formerly just roofs. And then we're also adding a third dwelling unit down in the basement area, and that is the subject of the open space variance requirement, because we cannot provide that. We have some open space, but this doesn't, legally comply with the planning code itself. The Rear yard variance is because we're restoring the top floor. The building already encroaches in the rear yard. There's a second building on the property on Cap Street 501 that also encroaches in the rear yard. So the site is virtually 100% built and developed. And so that's just the requirement that the rear yard variance. If we were to comply with the rear yard requirement, we would end up cutting back that top floor, and so it wouldn't be historically correct as it was when it was first built in 1891. So that's what we're asking for, both variances.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item number 12 for 3441 to 47 20th Street? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variances, noting the addition of dwelling units as well as restoration of the existing building, which is adding to housing stock since the 70s when fire removed those. Thank you. Move on to the last item.
All right, last calendar item, number 13 for case 2015-005762VAR. Located at 2218 Lyon Street for a rear yard variance.
And I have my affidavits and a photo of the posting. Go. Thank you. My name is Marissa Brandon, and I'm the architect for the project. The existing lot is an unusual square shape with the existing house extending the full length of the north side. You can see here the profile of the existing house here. This is the side yard that's an existing paved side yard that runs along the whole south side of the lot. There's no rear yard at the site. It's just the side yard. And as I mentioned, it runs the entire length of the south side of the property. The proposal is for a 47-square-foot, one-story addition to the kitchen over an existing deck tucked in a rear corner of the existing building. I have that shown here hatched in red. That's the rear. This is the street out here, Lyon Street. And so it's tucked back in the back corner, and it's a one-story addition to increase the area of the kitchen. The deck is proposed in the existing paved side yard and would be 7'6" off the existing grade. I'm going to show you a photo of that existing condition. So that kind of shows you the existing side yard that runs along the south of the property. The existing deck that I was mentioning that the kitchen addition would be on is back here. You can kind of see it tucked in the corner here. The existing deck that we're proposing would be 7'6" off the grade. The deck will be held 3 feet off the east and south property lines in order to maintain neighbor privacy, eliminate the need for fire-rated walls around the deck, and also allow us to maintain the dense and tall existing vegetation, which is along the east and south property lines. You can see that in the photo, and I have a number of other photos. The trees and hedges that are there are 35 to 40 feet tall, and those will remain with the concurrent proposed project, and that's why we're setting it off 3 feet in order to keep all that vegetation, which will allow for privacy also for the neighbors. I believe there have been no neighbor concerns expressed, and we feel that the unusual site configuration can be considered an exceptional and extraordinary circumstance. We feel that this proposal will not negatively affect the adjacent neighbors and will allow the property owners who have lived in the house with their family for the past 12 years to be provided with some additional kitchen square footage and usable outdoor space. I'm available for questions, and I have a number of additional site photos for reference if that's helpful.
Thank you. I did see those additional photos staff provided me
this great.
Week, which
great.
Is great.
I have prints if we need them for anything.
Thank you. What's happening to the basketball hoop?
Not sure. The kids are getting older, actually. They're 13 to 17, so I'm not sure they're going to keep that in use.
The deck might be less of an impact than the basketball.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, is there any public comment on this item 2218 Lyon Street number 13, lucky number 13? Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the odd lot shape, as was mentioned, is
it results in the rear yard essentially being the side yard here, and they're providing usable open space that's more readily accessible from the main living level of the unit in the form of the deck, which is set back from the side property line to maintain existing mature plants and protect privacy for adjacent buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Oh, and that's all, I guess. That was the last item. Let's see if there's any general public comment. I don't think there's any general public comment. We will adjourn and reconvene on Wednesday, August 24th, where Corey Teague will be acting as zoning administrator. Thank you. Thanks.